That's how Pokemon goes, right?
Oh, I was trying to tell if you were doing Legend of Zelda or Pokemon, but
I'm doing Pokemon to the best of my memory, and I bet it was really off, but I'm sure the implication still reached the listener's eagle ears.
Well, to be fair, I immediately thought you were doing Zelda because what we were talking about. But it sounded enough like Pokemon for me to be like, is that Zelda? Or is that... That sounds like Pokemon, but I'm not sure.
I'm glad that Pokemon was at least a hunch. Because Pokemon is like the theme of the week. A presidential candidate just made a really bad joke about Pokemon.
Dumb joke.
And then I see another tweet that's like, fuck all y'all, if Bernie Sanders said Pokemon go to the polls, y'all would be like, yeah. And then and deep down inside, I'm like, true.
Yeah, true, but I think it's because I think he would understand what he was saying.
Right. So I'm just riding the trends.
It's like if a really, really, really talented musician makes a song that's like pretty simple. You're like, this was a conscious effort. Like, anybody could make this, but they chose deliberately to make it like this. So this must be their vision for what it is. You know what I'm saying?
What if they take a pre-existing song that's like 20 years old and slow it down and like replay it in a different beat with some lo-fi filters applied that makes it sound really surreal and dreamy?
I don't know what you're referring to, but that sounds pretty neat.
Did you guys know that there's a genre of music called Simpson Wave?
Yes, I did.
What?
I did know that.
I went down this hole last night when I was not working on my Pokemon script. And the internet's getting weird these days, you guys.
Yeah, you've discovered the deep hole that is...
the
fucking,
aesthetics.
What's it called?
Vaporwave.
Vaporwave, that's school.
What is Sunday school?
It's really dumb, but
it's
good music to go to sleep to.
It's something that's like, you don't realize how heavily the 90s have this like really specific feeling to everything that was made until someone puts it all together into like this is like distilled 90s juice and like turns that into music.
Oh yeah.
I see what's happening here. Remember when we were kids and Vice City came out and I Love the 80s was the hot and poppin' new show on VH1?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Now, we're entering an age where we're in our mid to late 20s, and we're supposed to have disposable income, but whoops, but marketers and, like, artists in general are still, like, doing the same tactic of milking us for nostalgia of our childhood. Like, this week, Pokemon, cringy local news reports about the kids and their Pokemans are all over the news. I saw a woman with a CD Walkman trying to cross the street and a troop of men in rollerblades. Like, the 90s are coming back. There's no question about it. Absolutely no question anymore.
I want it to be known right now as an aside from this conversation, just briefly. Here, I'd say about 3.5 minutes into episode 100 of the TOVG podcast, George Weedman made a seamless, perfect segue.
It was so seamless, even I didn't even notice the seam. Are we clapping or is that something else?
Well, I was clapping.
I don't think Matt's clapping.
Yes, I was clapping. Those were my hands that were making those sounds. Yes.
So I bet that all three of us might have similar stories about what game we played this week. And
I'd say fun story.
I had some old college friends over almost the whole week. I didn't play much, just like loaded up Splatoon, signed up for the Splatfest. Don't forget, kids, I think it's the 22nd when when Callie and Marie are going toe to toe.
Yep.
All right, I'm gonna be repping my boys on Team Callie. We're taking it the mattresses. Oh, you too?
Yeah, brother. I've always been Team Callie from the beginning.
All right. I just gave you a real manly handshake.
Like the Arnold Schwarzenegger from, what was that? Is that Predator?
Yeah.
They like clasp hands really like beefily.
Right.
You a son of a bitch.
Yes, that
Decker,
one.
Dexter, whatever. Yeah. That's an 80s thing. Not relevant anymore. We're all about the 90s here.
Right.
Right now, the Clintons running for office, racial tensions are high. It's just like the worst parts of my childhood are coming right back. But Pokemon's one of the better parts.
Mm-hmm.
So over the past week, the only thing that I genuinely got excited about was joining this stupid trend of playing Pokemon Go. I went out to buy a new fancy cell phone to replace old Bubbly. And
right,
because old Bubbly was due for a replacement anyway. My phone from like 2010 had quite a few scratches and not a high enough number on its Android version to play Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
So I go spend about $80 on like a low end phone that meets the basic requirements for Pokemon Go. Come home and wonder why these Pokemans aren't showing up in my apartment. And as it turns out, what everyone was telling me on Twitter, but I was like ignoring because I was like, oh, that's probably like the bottom of the barrel $40-$50 phones that don't have it. You need a gyroscope, which are in Wii modes. Like, yeah. Mass produced cheap things have gyroscopes in them, but apparently cell phones on the lower end these days don't come with gyroscopes.
Yep. It's,
which is weird.
It's
like
a big touchscreen camera thing that's in more just more modern stuff.
Yeah.
I looked at the lineup just before getting on the podcast and like, if I'm going to be enjoying the fully authentic Pokemon's Go experience, I'm going to have to drop like $160 to $200 on a cell phone unless I get really skeezy about it and go secondhand. In which case, I think it's just going to take me too long to
Amazon,
make.
Dude. Always Amazon.
No, I don't want to wait on shipping.
Well, what you do is get a site email, sign up for Prime, right, for free, cancel your Prime, and buy the cell phone.
Does it come the next day?
Yes, because you can get same day shipping for only $4.
Oh, yeah. $4. That's just like two Happy Meals.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
I would rather have one day shipping on a. Oh, God. But I also have to refund the cell phone that I have earlier. I don't know. Like right now, my current plan is to find a friend with a better cell phone than me, give them some money for a video recording app and do a video on Pokemon Go just using their phone for a couple days.
But you need the experience. You need to go out there and meet strange men.
Exactly.
In their cars. You need do these things. Yes.
What you doing this weekend?
I'm doing Pokemon runs, of course. I'm going to gyms and taking over my hood.
Yeah. Oh.
You want to join in, George? You might need to change your outfit.
I guess I have to. I'm really interested in seeing what's out there. I'm going to have to play the game without the AR feature on and just see how I like it and milk the 7-day refund period I have before deciding if I want to take the splurge for a new phone. But does it work for your guys' phones?
I have a very new phone, so yes.
I have a new phone too.
Just a lower tier new phone, which is different.
Probably one of the more popular models. I have a Galaxy Note 5.
It's expensive.
Which is like, as far as
I'm gonna look it up.
Like as far as like the regular lineup of phones, it's like around the same range as like iPhones or what have you.
I've never felt the temptation to spend $200 on a phone until now. Like up until then, old Bubbly has been serving me fine.
See, I work 100% of my work is internet based now. So having a device that's powerful enough to work with any sort of like, you know, like
$520.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, they're not.
But that's
cheap,
what the contracts, right? That's what you've been. We're gonna talk about finances here. I was thinking about doing the same thing because I have. I got a S4 recently, actually, and I was trying out Pokemon because Pokemon You need a high enough Android thing that just like you were talking about. And I just downloaded the APK off the internet and installed it, and it worked anyway. But it gets a little weird with the AR.
I even noticed that.
It gets a little weird with the AR in the full release, which is very buggy.
My GPS was going nuts just in the few minutes I was trying it out. And when a friend came over and showed me it working as intended, his GPS was going nuts too.
Yeah, honestly, it was just last week, right, that I was kind of saying, like, keep your expectations low, and then I haven't played it much.
Yeah.
Right? I was not completely proven wrong, but I was pleasantly surprised with how much better than the beta it is. The servers are still shit.
But
it crashes
normal
a lot.
People are super into it.
Yeah, they added a layer of polish that wasn't there in the beta, which is to be expected, but it was a lot more than I thought was going to be. All the models and textures and everything looks much better than the beta, which I was like, oh, wow, like noticeably better. Gym battles have like dynamic angle to them. Then like the battle shifts around in the beta. It was like very static and looked very stiff and janky. But I mean, you know, it's not without its problems. It still crashes. It crashed like 4 times on me earlier as I was just going for like a 20-minute walk around the block while I waited for a render to finish. And it's not perfect, but like it's so popular that I hope that they're getting just plenty of revenue to be able to be like, all right, let's buff our servers the fuck up. Overhaul the systems that make it so that it doesn't crash.
Spare no expense.
It's crazy to hear the stories like, oh, cop gives credit to Pokemon Go players because they saw an attempted murder and stuff like that. Like, it's just really, really weird. And you know what that was the result of? A crash. A Pokemon Go crashed. He looked up and saw something happening. So it was really interesting. It's everywhere now. And it makes you wonder if it's just going to go away, or are they going to, you know, is this the beginning, you know, of something really interesting?
I think I have my hopes up for something really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the stats that they're pulling are ridiculous. Like, they're competing with Twitter.
Yeah,
which is absurd. Like,
Tinder.
Tinder.
Yep.
Pokemon Go, people are more interested in Pokemon than getting laid. Holy crap!
What does that say about our generation?
I think that says something good. I guess. I don't know.
Maybe people are just more fearful of bad things happening on Tinder than they are of bad things happening in Pokemon Go.
Which is funny, because we're going to get into some of the wacky adventures people have been going on. Okay, have you guys gone on any wacky adventures? Because that's what I'm looking forward to. Yes. I don't give a shit about the actual gameplay. I've heard it sucks. I just want some wacky adventures. IRL, I need an excuse to go on wacky adventures.
Yes, I think I don't know. I'm pretty sure this was after the last podcast, because I hadn't really played it much, if at all. We have done one wacky adventure, and me and my friends have agreed that like we should make this a regular thing.
Oh, that sounds so good to hear.
My friend, he convinced his younger brother to get the app, and then his younger brother convinced his friend. And so that dude and a third friend picked me up, and we went to a state college that is about, you know, 15, 20 minutes away from where I live. And we went there at around 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, the campus is open. Like, you can walk around it. You can't go in the buildings or whatnot. But, that's all we needed.
Yeah.
So, due to it being a well-traveled area, I don't know how they place all the Pokestops and gyms and everything, but I think it's just based on phone traffic in the area. Or at least that's what I'm assuming. So there's a decent amount of Pokestops, a decent amount of gyms, and I don't know how this works either, but there were definitely spots where specific things were spawning, consistently.
The Argentini at the Krispy Kreme here in Miami. Right. Yeah.
like
it's you're not, dude.
Like, you joke, but like literally so we get to the state college and like, you know, we find a site there like right outside and it's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so cool. And we spent like 2-3 hours just like wandering around the college. Mind you, school's out. No one's there. There was 150 plus people just there to play Pokemon Go. And so like at one point, a Hitmonlee shows up on all of our radars and we're like, oh my gosh, we need to find this. So we keep going to different Pokestops and like tracking to see if we can get close to it. Haven't found it yet. Kept asking everybody we passed and they're like, no, we haven't found it either. And someone was finally like, yeah, it's in front of the library. Just go on the front side of the library and that's where they spawn. And sure enough, we went there and that's where they spawn. We caught two of them right there. And then someone afterwards was like, oh, there's like Squirtles are in the Arboretum, which is funny because it's like a little like pond and river with a walking path through it. So we went over to the Arboretum and sure enough, we caught a bunch of Squirtles. And like at one point there's a spot in the campus where there's three overlapping Pokestops. And my friend was like, I spent $5 just for this. And he put three of the lure modules on all the Pokestops. So it makes like random Pokemon appear on that stop for everybody around. And within 5 minutes, a crowd of like 50 or so people had gathered there because people just like looked on their map and they're like, I see lure modules. I'm going to go over there. And then we just had like, we pretty much like started a party right there.
Oh man, that can get really creepy really fast.
Right. But like for the crowd that was around, it was like very tame and everyone was just like heartily exchanging Pokemon stories and showing each other their Pokemans and all that. And it was a really fun time. And like, we were planning on like going out again to just drive to a place, walk around and just do like, Pokemon things.
I wonder how crazy it would get. Like, you know, kid looks at his phone on a dark, stormy night and there's a lure like a couple blocks down the street, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, he goes out with his raincoat, sees, you know, guy in car, you know, that's a little creepy, you know. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I mean, need to hear news stories about Pokemon Go players getting kidnapped.
I think it's a potential, but it's like, it seems like that is no more dangerous than a lot of other things.
Right.
It's just like, if you are mindful.
Hey, kids.
Yeah, like I've heard all these people saying things about like they like almost ran into people who weren't paying attention. It's like, okay, not going to say Darwinism, but like for fuck's sake, pay attention. Like, yeah, I cross the street too when I'm playing Pokemon Go and I walk down the street as well. But like, it's not very hard to look down. Okay, the things that I'm looking for aren't closer yet. Look back up. Like, and, you know, obviously going out at late at night is a risky thing, whether you're playing Pokemon Go or not. And like, I don't know, if you're going out late in the later hours, go with a group. If your young children have the app, go with them. Like, there are easy steps to be taken that make it a much safer experience. Or go to like a really crowded place, like we went to that college, or the really happening spot in LA is Santa Monica Pier, which is, I think it's all the stops around there are lured like 24/7.
Yeah, I'd imagine
there's so much traffic.
Best case scenario is a medium sized crowd, not too big, not too quiet.
Yeah, Ross from Game Grumps actually posted video of they were at Santa Monica Pier last night. Randomly ran into like 12 different YouTubers, but also the pier was just like wall to wall packed. Like,
oh my
and
God.
Everybody
okay,
was
yeah,
playing.
That sounds a little pickpockety.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think no more risky
right.
than like going to Disneyland wall to wall packed, probably very pickpocketed.
Well, I mean, like, I guess there's a concern with just like random Disneyland size crowds cropping up when the people taking care of the pier don't expect there to be one.
Yeah. But like, I think in general, it's in a huge upswing right now, and it's probably going to die down at least to an extent soon.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Like,
but
I don't
also
even
just
really
like the fact it's happened. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a pain for some people, but for the rest of us, like, I see this as a positive force in gaming.
Yeah, being social, getting out, that's
yeah,
I don't
it
know,
really
that's
breaks
a difference.
The stigma.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There was an article I'm not going to name names. I don't even remember who wrote it, but it was like, the article was basically like, because I'm playing Pokemon Go is not a reason to talk to me. And it proceeded to like,
wow.
It was like a very like, I don't know, don't invade my space thing, which is like, yeah, okay.
Stay home and cheat. Don't go outside. Don't socialize, please.
The thing that got me about the article was, first of all, none of the examples seemed like they were being creepers, just maybe like a little socially inept, which is, I don't know, IMO easy to deal with. But the ending line was, I wish that Pokemon Go would Pokemon Go away. What happened to the days when gamers would stay inside, be introverts and antisocial? And I was like, oh,
wow.
If you want to be an introvert and stay inside and be antisocial and catch Pokemon, I have great news for you. There's a series of games called Pokemon that allow you to do that.
Absolutely. And I think that's a misconception too. I don't think all gamers are staying inside and stuff.
It's just weird for him to say that, not wanting to be super duper social.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, that's like, it's fine that you don't want to be social, but it was such like a, like, there's so much vitriol in the article of like, how dare you take that we're playing a game at the same time to talk to me? It's like
Pokemon
human interaction's
Go
part of life.
Attracts like a certain kind of crowd compared to, actually, I don't know, but
I would say based on the numbers and based on my personal experiences, it attracts literally all types.
Yeah, like, which is great.
Even the weird ones.
I mean, of course, the weird ones. Like, you know, video games are full of the weird ones anyway. But like at that college campus that night, there was like, you know, a fuck ton of college kids. And then, you know, there was me and my friends who are, they're out of college. I never went to college. And they're his younger brother who's in high school. And then I saw like people that could be, you know, parents with their kids that were also walking around just having a good time. So like, neat. I think it just attracts such a wide audience that like, I don't know, it is no more or less than just going out on a regular day anyway. Like, I guess it's an icebreaker for some people, but I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't look too far into it. It seems silly to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope it doesn't go away too quickly, because it's the biggest thing, the most positive thing that we have had in this kind of like area of gaming for a while. So
until concerned parents. Get concerned over people walking off cliffs, but we'll get there.
It's already lasted longer than Miitomo.
If I had a business,
that is true.
If you had a business out there, guys, and you know you need people to come into your shop, put a lore down, I was about to go a little ghetto, but put a lore down. Get yourself some people inside your shop. I don't know if you're selling food. You never know; they might want to stop, get something to eat. That's what I would do anyway. I've seen a couple articles of people like, people come inside my shop and it's good for business or whatever.
Yeah,
I was like,
start up a Poke shop.
Like,
enterprise.
I think that while I know that some people will just like go to stores and not buy anything to like catch Pokemon or whatever, I think that people seriously underestimate the like awkward social pressure that a lot of introverts feel when going to an establishment where they're like, well, I'm here, I might as well like not look like an idiot and just buy something.
Yeah,
like,
what if the guy behind the counter thinks I'm a weirdo?
Yeah, it's honestly like a lot of times, like, okay, I went walking the other day to go to the park near my house because there's some Pokestops there. The second I get there, the servers fucking crash. And I'm like, well, I'm here, I guess I'll go to Subway and get a sandwich. Was not planning on going to Subway and getting a sandwich, but I was like, well, I guess I'm hungry enough and I don't want to just walk out to the park and turn around and walk home without having accomplished anything.
Yeah.
So that's just capitalism working. The social pressure is a fiscal motivator. It's the invisible hand.
Yeah. Anyway, we talked for Pokemon Go for about 24 minutes.
It's fine.
It's totally fine.
I hope you all are still listening. I'm playing World of Warcraft private server again.
If that didn't kick him out, that sure will. You know, that's all good.
I'm also, please hear my opinions on... No, I'm not even going to finish that sentence.
I'm literally trying to think of any strong opinions I have right now that aren't the news topics coming up. And I'm really drawing a blank because this has been like my least video game filled week in a good long while.
You guys didn't end up picking up Evolve free to play?
No.
Not yet?
No, not yet.
I just haven't heard enough raving.
Yeah.
I heard fairly positive things. I don't know. I heard
they took away like game modes and stuff like that.
Yeah, essentially what I've heard from people and reviews has been the gameplay is much faster paced and different than it used to be, which is a positive in some aspects and a negative in the others. But I haven't heard a consensus of like, it's great or it's terrible. Even the Steam reviews, I think, are completely 50-50 split right now. But I think a lot of the negative has to be from the quote unquote founding tier people.
I'm still kind of sort of chipping away at the Battlefield 4 assignments, which I don't know if I talked about that last week, but I think I'm going through a phase in my life where I care about these stupid HUD pop-up tick reminders. Mm-hmm. Battlefield 4 has those going on. It really bugged me about Doom, and I can just get sucked in these holes sometimes where I want to play a match and have fun, but also want to fill whatever combat quota they're giving me, because it makes me feel like I'm not fully completing whatever value the game has unless there's like proof on the spreadsheet that I have exhausted the value of the thing. I mean, it's working. I am playing the game more than I would otherwise, but I kind of wish that stuff would go away.
Yeah, I feel you.
Which is probably bad to say as I get into Pokemon Go.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't say that I'm like in the same camp. I mean, like I literally just said, I started playing fucking WoW again.
Yeah.
Which is like all about like, here's an arbitrary number of things you need to kill. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like fun. I've been having fun, so
it's how they get you to keep playing. Other than, you know, there's those people who stay because they really like the gameplay. There's those people who stay because they like collecting things and they like the checklist. Like I was just playing Destiny, and full of this just checklist stuff, and I'm playing it because when I want to sit down and play games with my friend, that's what he's been playing. So I just join in, and I tell him, you get dailies every day, and when you get that, you get reputation. A reputation gives you packages that gives you loot, and and there's a crazy amount of different types of loot. You can probably get something really good, and if you get something really good one time, then you're going to want to keep doing it. It's this constant cycle of all these different things. You could go to the gunsmith guy who you can keep doing quests for him, or do Crucible, or do PvE, or do the weekly this, the weekly that, the weekly raid that gives you a bonus. Like it's everything. It's weekly dailies. There's this guy who comes named Zir that brings crazy exotics that you're going to want to check. It gets you into the game. And they're the masters of the console, like MMO collectathon race right now, like masters of it. And it gets people, like, especially for the people who haven't played MMOs or haven't really like got into one, this just like satisfies that taste, you know, and it's all over the place.
And I want to know what it is. Like, usually, almost always in all cases, I hate this stuff, but something about Doom like ticked me, and it was the weapon upgrade points. Like, I feel like I've explained myself, but I don't know what it is about Battlefield 4, because you don't really get anything useful out of it. It's just kind of like a badge of completion. Like, Battlefield 4 is full of unlockables, but they're all insignificant. There's just like 16 different cosmetic variants of a red dot scope you can unlock by doing these things. But I think it's because I like the game and I'm just like going along with their excuse for why I'd want to play it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, like, I don't think that there's anything wrong. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with disliking the systems. I don't think there's anything wrong with liking the systems either. I think if you can identify what it is about them that you like, and not just like, you know, not to insult anybody, but not to just like sheep through the system.
No, I'm so
just like
insulted.
I mean, well, you're the one who doesn't like it, so you wouldn't
roll out the window now.
But I know, but I mean, like,
onto the I guess asphalt. the good thing would be about it would be if you're playing it anyway, you get awarded for it.
Yeah, the way I was describing it to my friend the other night when we started playing again, because I mentioned this, you know, over a year ago when I was doing the same server. I'm back on the same server on WoW and same character and everything, and I have almost all the fishing achievements because I got all the ones that give you the salty title because I wanted to be salty because that's funny. But there's still a couple more fishing achievements, and I was like, you know what, like, I have some time today and I'm not doing anything and I want to like watch some videos. I'm just going to pop it up on the side and try and get the rest of these fishing achievements. And I don't know, just the repetitive grinding, working towards a goal, even though it was like mostly RNG, just kind of like doing a motion over and over again was like oddly therapeutic. And I know that it's like, yeah, it's completely arbitrary and there's nothing about it that is actually accomplishing anything, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. It was relaxing to me. And, you know, I was just basically same thing, just grinding for a number ticker to go up. But like,
carrot on that stick, man.
Pretty much.
And they can get you sometimes.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything super wrong with liking that, but I can understand why a lot of people, I guess, would be like, you know, it's arbitrary and it's not real gameplay and such.
I rally against it whenever I see it misused. And I'm wondering if the BF4 case, there's so many of them that are garbage. It's just like, get 6 carbine ribbons in a match, and the carbine is the objectively worse weapon, so they just kind of want to handicap you and also get you really lucky. But I think I also don't really feel satisfied turning off Battlefield unless I've had a really good life. Like, unless I've done a million cool things, and then I can put the game down and I'm good.
That's
otherwise,
like
I like... I grit my teeth at the keyboard and I'm like, I get really frustrated and immersed into whether or not I've had that good run yet. And a lot of these goals try to set you up for that good run. There's one that you get your ribbon if you land on top of a tall tower in a certain map, snipe 5 people from that tower, and then... Yeah, you just have to land on top of it and then snipe 5 people from it, which is super hard to do because once you're at the top of that tower, you're an easy target for everyone on the ground and the planes, and then everyone knows everyone's up there because everyone's chasing after the same ribbon.
Right.
It's not even that good of a spot to snipe from. But once I pulled it off, I was like, now I can put the game down because I did it.
Yeah, I totally feel that. It was the same thing with my fishing stuff. I literally had a just one more
exactly
moment where like lures that make your fishing go up last for 10 minutes. So I was like, I'll do it for 10 minutes and then like I'll be done with it. And I did it for 10 minutes and it ended and I was like, one more cast. And I did the one more cast and I got the thing that I was looking for and I was like, I did it. And then I turned off the game and I felt really happy.
To be honest, though, like, I really hope Battlefield 1 doesn't have these sorts of shenanigans going on, because, like, I get it, but I'm really tired of dealing with them.
I wouldn't hold your breath. Progression systems drive
games. It's not even a
love-hate
relationship. It's like, it's a carrot on a stick. Yeah. Like, I get mad if I don't do it.
Yeah.
But so I do it.
Yeah. It's just... In general, it's the modern trend of gaming, you know, stemming from things like achievements and such. It's like, it's the same general concept.
Wasn't the incredibly vague topic of our very first TOVG podcast the modern trend of gaming?
Was it?
Yes.
Do you remember that
long ago? I think
ago?
It was. I think the Jeez. Word was even more vague. It was the modern direction of gaming. And Gerard and Alex were just trying to like shimmy us along. Oh, that was 100 episodes ago. What fond memories we maybe have created since then.
That was an age ago.
Damn. One whole age.
At least 2 years.
Doesn't feel like 2 years, but I guess I haven't been doing anything for 2 years except sitting in my apartment making YouTube videos and talking about the news after this break.
Okay. Bush.
Did want to talk about Inside, and I don't want to push you outside.
That is a good pun. That is a good pun. Well, hello guys, and welcome back from whatever you just heard.
Welcome
probably
back from
Tribes,
the outside,
or Seinfeld,
because we're back here inside.
Oh, are we back?
Yes.
I guess Matt officiated us in.
Yeah, I'm sliding us inside.
He brought us inside the coop.
Yes, yes.
You say inside?
Yes, I did. But that also reminds me of a game I just played called Inside.
Whoa.
By Play Dead.
Limbo
the same
Man.
Guys who made Limbo. Yeah.
That's Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, they're just called Limboman Productions.
Right. Dude, this plays exactly like Limbo, but it
really
looks way better and feels a lot better. Huh. So this game is weird. It's the story is very hard to follow. I'm sure someone's out there like, oh, this is what happened and blah, 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 blah. But it's just weird. The whole thing is
right.
weird. Okay, you don't know what's going on during your first playthrough. You're just doing stuff. There's like a little secret ending at the end if you get all the collectibles or whatnot, whatever, but still don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay is constantly changing. There's constantly like new stuff being thrown in to eventually you're just things just go off the rocker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very
How
short
far
experience.
Off the rocker?
Like really far off. There's a little bit of creepiness. There's a little bit of awesome moments, I would say, where you're looking at the animation and you're like, wait a minute, is it the same animation of, I don't know how they do it, but it looks so, it looks like it's kind of like Toon Boom. If anyone know that animated program where everything's on bones when they animate and stuff like that, you see that kind of on Dragon Ball P and all that. Yeah. It's kind of like that, but it's also kind of hand drawn as well. It looks really nice and really specific to those guys. They turned Limbo's art style and just went wild with it. This one is a little bit more forward with the story. I don't know if that really makes sense compared to like, you just don't really understand, but you see stuff there, you see stuff happening. And they constantly change what's going on and add more things that are kind of like very subtle. Like, I don't know if that, I guess that's kind of spoilers, but like you eventually like control these guys and then they progress from that to switching how you control them. And it just keeps going. They don't repeat things. It seems like it was well thought out. Very well thought out. Yeah.
For 20, I haven't had the chance to play it yet.
It's short. It's really short.
Talking about it getting off the rocker, I mean, I'm trying to... This might spoil it just by asking, but I'm just like trying to picture a game like Limbo going off the rocker, and all I can really picture are like fast cinematic stunt sequences. Like kind of speeding up the insta kill
like
puzzle
platforming
shtick.
No, there's more to that. There are stuff like
that.
Because
I really don't know.
There's more stuff like that. Like, you're not going to just being chased all the time and, whoa, I'm chased and I jumped at the last moment. No, it's not that. It's not that. There's a lot more there. A lot more condensed in this little, like, kind of like 4-hour game for $20. I would say that's, it's just
that
right
sounds
out.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's just a lot there, you know. So it's one of those things like, oh, is it worth the $20? I don't know. Like, for $20, this experience is pretty like straightforward. It's like a straightforward experience. You got your puzzles, you got your crazy scenes. The music builds up to these scenes as well. Like, there's a lot of juice. There's a lot of juice, and I thought it was a good mention. A good, if you guys are interested in Limbo, if you play that way back, kind
of
like I did. This might
three
be really up your alley. Like, really up your alley.
All right. I'm definitely going to put that on my wish list. I'm actually going to open Steam right now.
Really?
Yeah. That's it. I would have to go into detail. It's
right.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I appreciate you not, because
yeah,
it seems
like
a game where
surprises
are the most fun.
And I also like
fun.
That my assumption just like was met with a no, I can't explain it, but no.
Yeah,
because the less I know what to expect, the better for pretty much most things in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You don't want to
ignorance
spoil
is
it.
Bliss. You don't want to know how taxes work.
Yeah, you just want to just
you don't
move
you don't
want to
know how to save for retirement.
Yeah, that's why they don't teach it in schools. That's why they don't teach it in school.
Because it's more fun learning as you go.
right. Nothing bad happens when that happens.
Sometimes, you know, you might just end up having to like make a weird advertisement for a company you don't care about and you just make a Doom mod.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have no money to buy Chex Mix, you know, that cereal.
Until Chex pays you for the weird ass Doom mod advertisement game that you and your financial pinch from having the fun improvisational financial action stunt sequence of not saving up your money got thrown into.
Right.
There was
why don't you just unpack this?
Okay, because I really, really like the fact that this is a news topic this week. I saw when I was scrolling through my aggregator of choice, the Chex Quest was getting an HD remake, and my initial reaction was, why? And after reading one line with the interviewer and his subject, I was like, oh, okay, this is fine. Because the very first question was basically the interviewer going, why? And the person who responded it was a Chex Quest artist named Charles Jacob, who immediately clarified that, no, yeah, I get it. It's really stupid. And just goes into the gory details about how adamant Chex was about how they wanted the brand everywhere. Mm-hmm. So just like, imagine, I was like reading all these quotes in Landon Poblivsky's voice. So just like imagine a lazy metalhead like leaning back in his chair with his eyes half closed and just saying they were very adamant about they just wanted the brand name everywhere, and obviously putting it in the HUD was a big part of that. They liked the fact that we found a place for it in the HUD, so it was basically there all the time.
Wow.
And sure enough, underneath that quote is a screenshot of Chex Mix with the Chex logo permanently branded on the player's HUD.
Yeah, I forgot about this game.
Oh, it's such a like this is like the picturesque perfect example of how weird games were in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's pretty wonderful.
That a kid-friendly Doom clone made on the Doom engine came packaged with an AOL trial disc and packages of Chex Mix. Like, I can't even.
What a wonderful thing.
My roommate is yelling at me for laughing too loud.
Shut up, I'm playing Destiny. She actually plays this.
I'm interrupting the destiny concentration.
I love how Matt's interpretation of your roommate makes her sound like Roz from Monsters Incorporated.
Shut up, Weedman.
Funny fact. The inspiration of another Pixar animated movie was a big artistic motivator for Chex Quest. The guy wanted a lot of the bits of the heroes and the villains to look like they were from Toy Story, so...
Huh. Wow.
Did George just... Perfect segue again? God. This is a crazy cast, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Did I?
What a special episode 100.
But that's Nintendo releasing... what could I have possibly segued in?
We went off the rails onto Pixar, and you brought it back to Chex Quest through Pixar.
Oh my god. So I segued into the topic we were already successfully segued into?
We were like leaving the topic, and you were like, no, let's get back on track.
Okay.
That was great. Good job.
So yeah, another fun quote. In Doom, you had guys all bloody hanging from the wall, where we just made a sprite of basically the same thing, but it's just a little cereal dude slimed and stuck to the wall. But they're all meant to be sort of callbacks to the ideas that were in Doom, but just made it kid-friendly. It was a lot of fun to interpret this thing.
That's great. This is a good thing. I'll play Chex Quest HD.
The idea... I can't even listen to that with a straight face. He got the idea to remake Chex Quest into a HD 3D version on Unreal Engine 4 by seeing how excited people were getting on a Chex Quest fan site over the prospect of him making some new sprites for them. Ten years later, there was still a fan site for the game that had active users, and they just went crazy over getting a bunch of new sprites, and so that just kind of, I don't know, got me excited about the universe again.
What? He did not say that.
He said that's a quote from the guy, remaking Chex Quest into an HD Unreal Engine 4 3D version for free. And that's another thing that makes it okay. Like, if this was a commercial effort from Chex, that would actually be pretty wacky and cool. But this at least makes it believable. It's just like this wacky, crazy dude with his wacky, crazy hobbies coming into it with a great sense of humor. And I love it. You go get him, Tiger.
Speaking of going...
I was just gonna say, I hope that Chex Quest HD leads to Pepsi Man HD.
There are just too many good ideas.
On the App Store.
Chester,
oh my gosh, it'd
Chester
be perfect.
Cheetahs,
yeah, it would.
Too
it
cool would. For school.
Pepsi
HD.
Man.
McKids HD. Things could go out of hand. They could get a little rediddle Donkulous, much like how Pokemon Go has already gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
I remember the very first day. Thank you. Thank you, my fellow Americans. I remember the very first day I was reading about Pokemon Go, I read basically a Simpsons plot happening.
Yeah. Don't believe every article on Pokemon Go, because 90% of them are made up.
Not the one with the girl who was out in the woods trying to find Pokemon to catch, but she found a dead body.
Right. One of the dead body stories was correct, but there were like 12 other ones.
Several different local news affiliates were all talking about this, I don't even know where it was. I just the age was consistent. I know it's the same girl because how many 19-year-old girls found dead bodies while looking for Pokemans? I swear this has happened in The Simpsons, where like Bart and Milhouse go out to play in the woods, but end up finding a dead body instead of whatever magical mystery imaginary thing they were looking for. The Simpsons did it.
Yeah. Yeah, these stories have been crazy, but I mean, this is, I think... I think it's like we were talking before the cast. I will say it again. I'm not going to say Darwinism, but just if you're going to do these things, just be smart. That's all. Be smart.
Speaking of being smart, some very enterprising individuals have set up businesses and a very visible pokey economy around the pokey stops and the pokey gyms and the mm-hmm. the pokey groups. I don't know what they're called.
Oh, of course. Yes,
but meanwhile, around like the underground economy, we have very enterprising individuals targeting people that just take their shit around the pokey stops and the pokey gyms.
Are you talking about Pokewalk?
There were I think 4 muggers who were arrested in Missouri for I don't know why they didn't stop doing it after the first 3 or 4 incidents, but they decided to just stay in the same place and keep mugging the same people who kept showing up until someone finally called the cops.
The hubris of man.
I know. Truly an age of greed gone wrong in the modern American society.
So basically the synopsis of this wacky tale is a group of robbers finds a bunch of Pokestops that are close together, puts a bunch of lure modules on them, which lures Pokemon to the area for everybody, therefore getting people to come to their location and then mugging them. And they stayed there too long because they're fucking actually like stupid, dumb people. Just dumb.
I mean, on one level, though, you gotta like admire the enterprising.
I admire the idea.
Maybe the like first 2 times.
It's like it is in like a Pirates of the Caribbean fashion. I admire the like Jack Sparrow nature of them shanghaiing this app. I don't agree with stealing from people or anything. I don't think that they're great people. I think they're douchebags. But I admire the ingenuity to come up with this idea. However, all of my admiration is lost immediately upon the fact that they did not even make it through 1 session of this without getting arrested. Like, they didn't even become infamous for doing it many times. They just did it once in the same spot for too long.
Oh, geez. What a time to be alive. Because while I was reading that story, I bet while I was reading it, oh, no, while I was making a video about it, this one popped up of 2 men who just walked off of a is
cliff.
It bad to laugh about this? Because the police found one of them unconscious, and they didn't even talk about how they found the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Look,
Jesus.
I'm going to restate it. I'm not going to say Darwinism. But for fuck's sake, people.
You just said Darwinism.
Darwinism. Just fucking be smart. If you're dumb, you're going to die. That is that's my advice to you. Don't be dumb or you'll die.
Don't walk off cliffs.
I mean, like getting lured to an area and mugged is one thing. Fucking walking off of a cliff? How did both of them do it?
I fell off the cliff, both of them. Straight to hell for laughing so hard. But
I'm sorry,
news-
but you both, these 2 of you, and it wasn't like one fell off and the other guy was like, oh no, it was both people fell off the cliff.
The news story doesn't specify if they fell off at the same time.
Right. Did one fall off first and he didn't realize and he also fell off.
And I guess the person to fall off didn't say, oh no, loud enough to warn the other. Also, the news story on like the local affiliate website, NBC San Diego, specifically mentions how the cliffs were marked with large visible signs.
Well, I mean, of course they fucking were.
This is either, there are only 2 ways society can move on from here. Either this is the beginning of the end and they start roping off cliffs. All the cliffs in California have to have fences on them.
10-foot walls on the top of every cliff.
Everything's gonna keep going along as normal and no one's gonna change anything. Because these also seem like really
really easily examples of avoidable accidents. Just, you know, look up from the phone every now and then.
It's right. really not that difficult. Like, it is actually a very, like, low engagement app as far as the main game goes. You look and you say, oh, there's a Pokestop over there, and there's Pokemon within X amount of steps of me, and you start walking in that direction, and you check back in a few steps, and you go, oh, I am closer to the thing. And you get to the thing, and you tap it, and you swipe it, and stop moving when you're doing the catching the Pokemon, or swiping the Pokestop, or battling a gym. Just don't walk while you're doing that. Just stand still.
Yeah, but what if PSA. People think you're a weirdo?
Fucking 10 million people downloaded this app. This is like,
once
like
10
the
million
least
people
weirdo
do anything,
nerd
it's not
thing.
Weird anymore.
The least weirdo nerd thing that is in pop culture. This is bigger than when Pokemon was big when it first came out.
Right.
This is like actually mainstream. Like 100%.
Since that Train On video, it's been crazy.
Anyway, TOVG PSA over.
Last but not least, Islamic religious authority in Egypt has declared that Pokemon Go is about as illicit as alcohol, warning that it negatively influences the mind and harms the player or others without being aware of that.
Oh, okay.
My advice to the Egyptian Islamic cleric is the same as my advice to the people walking off of cliffs. Don't be dumb. What was that? What the fuck? Real high production values on our soundboards here at the TOVG podcast.
Boo, the crowd. All right, we're taped in front of a live audience.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't know how much authority this religious right. authority in particular has, but
it just says he is a cleric.
Should you subscribe to his teachings, watch out for the man upstairs.
Yeah.
I guess.
I know that was supposed to be people clapping, but it just sounded like you were pouring like a bucket of water on the floor.
I heard a toilet.
I'm doing the best I can over here with the budget we have.
Please donate to TOVGpodcast.com to get us a better soundboard.
A better Rube Goldberg machine. Like Matt's control panel can have more doodads on it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We need to get that money.
What are you even doing? Oh, there's my soundboard. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. That's a real one.
Yeah. They might be chasing after people who stole other people's content.
Mm.
Much like how Bethesda has very, very liberally borrowed, as one interpretation of it could be, a mod quest made for Fallout New Vegas, actually.
And then they put it in Fallout 4's DLC.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this shows up tomorrow. A fan tweeted this at me about an hour before we started recording, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating. There's a series of screenshots showing how even the look of the room of the vault in this fan-made quest from New Vegas looks like a real quest they've included in the Far Harbors DLC, where the player investigates a murder mystery in a fancy room full of robots who have cute voices and funny personalities who say almost the same things and go through almost the same story to almost the same beats.
Wow.
The author, though, is taking this very, very liberal inspiration of their work very well, and just saying, hey, hopefully this will just give more eyes on this cool mod for New Vegas. In case you like this neat quest from the Fallout 4 DLC, you'll like this neat quest that was made for Fallout New Vegas by a fan.
I don't know. Like, wouldn't you want to at least say, like, them to send you an email, like, hey, man, we drew inspiration from you, dude. Like,
right.
Good job. Like, we don't need, like, not money or anything, just, like, acknowledgement at least.
I don't know if you guys are scrolling through the article right now, but the screenshots really, really do look almost uncanny. So uncanny that admitting to the inspiration could almost be seen as, like, an act of shame on part of the authors here.
Yeah.
I don't really know like how close it can come to counting as them actually stealing and ripping off this mod. But the weird thing, and the kind of sad thing, is that they can absolutely get away with it. Because as far as I understand, the EULA for video game modding rules typically throw all of these mods under the licensing and ownership of the original game makers, which
means
they can go ahead and make an official version and charge money for it. Which is like common practice with Bethesda games. They have a lot of official features directly inspired by mods that fans have made, but this is the one case where they're not necessarily like implementing a technical feature so much as they're like taking a story and and taking that and polishing that up. It seems a little different when it's like less of a feature than it is like it seems a little bit more like
artistic content as opposed to
of artistic
technical
functionality. Right.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little sadder.
Yeah, a little weird. I mean I the only thing that I can think of that's similar to this is the champion in League of Legends, Renekton, is pretty well documented as having been a fan submission to their forum that they pretty much took almost one to one with the storyline and mechanics, and they just changed him from an Egyptian elephant man to an Egyptian crocodile man, and that was like their contribution, and then they sold him.
I don't know how complicated this would be to do within a big company like Bethesda, but when I was a kid and seeing how many cool things modders were making and how they were getting incorporated in games, like I was seeing a lot of cases of modders getting hired. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like the class A way to get away with this would be to hire the modder temporarily as like a consultant or something, just
a
like a couple
or something.
Months, right, to make sure
have them
that
oversee the
least,
project. Yeah,
at that least that they're not going to be pissed off about and giving the negative PR. Granted, this author is taking it fairly well, but also that looks really, really good to the fans. Like they're like, oh, they're looking at the fans, they're admiring the fans' work, and incorporating it into their own, and also like giving back to the community as part of it.
Yeah,
which sounds weird to say because I mean like they set this stuff up in the first place as the infrastructure of the game, the people are modding, but I'm sure you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah. In a side news, since I'm seeing it all over Twitter right now. The lanyards that come with your pass for Evo Championship Fighting Game Tournament Series.
Mm-hmm.
The lanyards say Evo Championship Series.
Championship.
Wow. They are misspelled.
Bum, bum, bum,
bum.
And it's on the fucking lanyards, not like just a little piece of cardboard. The lanyards.
The live studio audience always with the perfect reactions for the we don't deserve them. They're too good to us.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, thank you.
It sounded like you had a paper crumpling or like a big stack of paper that you were like peeling the corner back and flipping down. So it was like,
oh, so do you guys want to hear about me being a cynical asshole?
Yeah,
sure.
Everyone on my game forum of choice was applauding a new Nintendo product announced today that I don't think is for me, and I see as kind of redundant.
Okay, I will join you in this.
The NES Classic Edition has been announced on a very good day for Nintendo, where a lot of wacky misadventures people have been going on keep cropping up about Pokemon Go. The Hillary Clinton endorsement has happened. I'm sure everyone listening knows, unless you don't, Nintendo is making a plug and play box that'll be a little set top HDMI mini console that looks like an NES, comes with 30 digital copies of old NES games, all like the essential first party ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not a lot of third party, not a lot in the ways of Castlevania or Contra, no Metal Gear. But
yeah, they have Castlevania 2, but not 3, which is weird.
So it's still hard to feel bad about the lineup, though, because like all your essentials are there, and even some weird things like Ice Climber and Kid Icarus that only got popular after Smash.
Yeah.
And the NES version of Pac-Man for some reason.
It's a plug and play, though. You know, like the only thing that I really like about it is that you can use the controller outside of that system and you have HDMI support, which is actually really, really good.
Yeah, honestly, like it seems like more of a novelty than anything else, but $60 for 30 NES games.
Not
I mean, even
terrible.
Yeah, even from a digital virtual console perspective, like you can't get any more games on it, but like that's better than buying all the individual games on the virtual console, aside from them not being like compacted into like your main console, like a Wii U or something. But like, I don't know, if you want to, like, it's a neat gift. You're like, hey, you said you'd never played like the NES games before. Like, here, enjoy most of the NES library on
Wii. Also, I don't know about that. Like, I kind of, the reason I'm kind of disappointed in this, the main reason, number one, is that it doesn't have a cartridge slot. Mm-hmm. And there are competitor products that have been getting made.
Retron.
Sometimes I don't know how they get away with it. Yeah, really, like, shoddy gray market. Some good ones. There are official mod kits you can put on an old NES that'll clean up the connectors and give you an HDMI port, too. But I've been looking for something like that that's a little easier to deal with. So when I saw this, my ears perked up because I have my old NES collection and an old NES that never works when I want it to. And I was like, oh, maybe I can finally have a working NES underneath my old crappy TV. Yeah. And this isn't really that. Like, this is more of a like toy for dad kind of situation. It's an adult toy, if you will.
It's just a little for the most part, it's kind of just like a fun collectible. It has functionality to it, but for the most part, I see it being used as a fun collectible.
Like
if you're looking for like actual functional NES, just get a top loader a top loader. Top loader NESs are like 100 times more consistent in functionality than the front loader NES.
But also you get the opportunity of playing weird shit you would not be able to
Like if you want like a real NES experience, just like go find a top loader. They're like $25 or something. The games will run you $5 to $10 each, so that's
if
where this one wins
charging
out.
Like in Georgia,
I mean,
yeah,
I guess a lot of the places around where I'm at, like unless they're rare games, like unless it's like original in-box sealed Legend of Zelda, which is like $800,
right?
But like the regular library will be like around $10 for each game. I have a NES and a couple carts. I have Zelda 1 and 2 and Mario Brothers. But like, I don't know. I feel like this has functionality to some people. I don't see it as a wide spanning audience though. And I know that a lot of people are going to be like, well, I can just pirate these ROMs anyway. Yeah. It's like,
I mean, guilty as charged.
Yeah. I mean, to play things that I'm only ever going to play one time, like the Danger Squad challenges that I do on Twitch, like, I'm not going to go fucking buy a Super... Well, I have a Super Nintendo, but I'm not going to buy, like, you know, the equipment to rig up a Super Nintendo to a capture unit and then find a copy of NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
This is awfully specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, NBA Jam was for a Super... you were saying Super Nintendo.
Like I did that before and I just use an emulator, but so, like on one-offs that it's not going to affect any sales.
A lot of
but
fans seem like they're on like a high right now for good Nintendo news, and I mean like this isn't bad Nintendo news, but I also don't feel like this product's for us. Like, get it for dad, he'll get a couple cool nights out of it and then put it away. But
yeah, just like every other plug and play, even though it's probably one of the best ones out there, it's just
as far as plug and plays go, that's it's you know pretty high tier having 30 full games on it as opposed to you know like one small mini game.
Right.
I suppose this could be a cool thing to take on vacation, like you know,
maybe
toss it into the hotel TVs in the nighttime or whatever.
Or just bring a laptop with an emulator on it.
Well, yeah, but like I don't own a laptop, for example. Like I'm probably never going to get a laptop because I rely on my desktop
with Smash
too much
on it.
Right, but I mean, this is very compact and small, portable. So, like, smaller than a GameCube, right?
It's tiny, yeah.
That's smaller not, than that's an NES cartridge. Thought. That's not a like bad thought.
It's a luxury, but I think that it has its merits. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's also not really that bad of a thing. It's an okay thing.
It has save states.
I hate the original Metroid.
Super Metroid.
I would take zero mission over the original Metroid any
you
day.
You can use
Metroid
the NES gamepad to play Smash on your Wii U with Smash on it that you brought instead.
Hooray.
I just really like having the games in my hand and putting it in my toaster and you know, just yeah. pressing it down. Maybe give it a few blows, you know?
I have a penchant for the physical yeah. aspect of technology. That's why I don't really like wireless things. I like the feedback of plugging in a cable and being like, that is data transferring between those things and mm-hmm. nobody can say otherwise unless the cable breaks. But with wireless stuff, I'm always like, is it working?
I mean,
is this on?
I'm just imagining that like in the post-Trump nuclear dystopia of 2022, when a neo-historian is combing through the rubble for artifacts and finds a Japanese Famicom cartridge for Hibachi's Quest or whatever it was called.
If right.
That he's going to need the hardware to put that cartridge into to know what the culture was like at the time. I'm all about historical preservation, and this mm-hmm. is a very, very narrow view of the Nintendo's vast, vast library. So, I mean, it's just not gonna get that.
If Nintendo made a Retron, like just for Nintendo games, like just, I would.
That's what
like,
I wanted when that, I read that they were yeah, re-releasing the NES. Yeah,
everyone
would.
You
mean like basically Nintendo's like, all right, so here's this little box thing. You can put NES, SNES, N64, and GameCube discs into it. Have fun.
Yeah,
well, there's
yeah.
a piece
even,
of shit.
Even to N64 and down.
Yeah,
I would,
even just
I would
cartridges.
I think there's
I
a piece
with.
Of shit version of the Retron that comes with like 30 Genesis games preloaded on a Genesis with a crappy cartridge slot, but at least it's a cartridge slot.
Yeah.
And I mean, they don't use the original board and there are compatibility issues, but it's still more than 30 games if you want to get into the historical studies.
I mean, to be fair, 30 games is not a small amount of games. If you're going for the deep and the wide of the library,
like 100 on the whole library minimum.
That's a third of the library. That's a sizable chunk.
When you say a third, it makes it sound like a lot.
I mean, it is a lot because it's a third of it. Like it's
a minority of it. There you go. Now it sounds like a small amount.
I mean,
wow.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, okay, you know, oh excuse God. My loud clickety clackety typing for a second, but what is it? NES small thing. So I Googled. Cool. I found it. What is the game list? Okay, Balloon Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania 1 and 2.
And some of them are just redundant. They've got
Donkey
like
Kong
Pac-Man,
and Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah, the Donkey Kongs.
Double Dragon 2,
Galaga.
Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Dr. Mario. This seems, okay, yes, these are all like the popular ones, but this seems like a decent
sampler. Essentials collection.
Yeah, it's a sampler of the, you know.
And Star Tropics, which more people do need to play. Star Tropics is like kind of an outlier.
Adventure.
Punch Out yeah. featuring Mr. Dream.
Ninja Gaiden. Wow. Okay. I'm surprised they only have one Mega Man game on here. And I'm surprised it's Mega Man 2, but.
The essential one.
I guess. Anyways.
I guess it's more of a missed opportunity than anything. I guess.
It just seems like it's an okay thing.
Yeah.
It's just it's a very whelming product. It's like, all right.
I just that, the that perspective is. That I'm coming from made me think of a very different thing when I clicked the link that had the headline Nintendo is remaking the NES. I was picturing a very different product.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I and yeah. then you read the article and then
you saw the picture and
deflated. Yeah.
That
also sounded like papers.
That was deflated. That's,
I'm sure that like the listeners are going to hear it crystal clear through Matt's super fancy microphone, but we're hearing it through Skype, where there's paper everywhere. Jimmy turned into a robot for a while.
Yeah,
for Georgia Net couldn't handle California Net.
The viewers will never know. Listeners, sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Consumers.
Consumers of our medium. Mm. Let's go consume some media. I'm going to go play something on the dad stream. We're either going to do Doom or Siege again.
Sounds good. I don't know what I'm doing. I've had a rough week. I'm going to go fish in Warcraft, watch Game of Thrones.
I guess I'll, use a restroom.
Jesus Christ, man.
Or get some headshots.
You're having a...
Jesus Christ, man.
You're having a ball over there. You are having one ball.
Guys, I hope that you enjoyed our TOVG podcast super special 100 episode special. I hope you really like the surprise of two good segues and a soundboard that was brought in totally last second.
Yep.
We really worked hard to set this up for you guys.
Yep.
we really totally didn't just forget that it was 100 episodes this week and realize literally as we were setting up.
You should probably tribes. Do some special. Yeah.
Tribes.
Tribes.
Wow. There's a tribes button here. I need to add it.
Make a tribes soundboard.
Tribes and a bush soundboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the entire TOVG podcast soundboard. One button goes tribes. The other button goes bush.
Goodbye, bush.
That's good. That's good. There's a random Santa Claus ho 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 in the background as you say Bush.
Do you think there's a parallel universe where Jeb Bush got the nomination instead of
dude?
What if it would have been weird? Bush versus Clinton in a separate universe?
You know what's weird?
Yeah.
Me and my buddy James, who are playing on that Warcraft server again, we made new characters and we're like, let's be dwarves, and we're like, what sort of name's me? And so he just typed in Jeb Bush and it wasn't taken yet. And he's like, well, I'm going to be Jeb Bush. And I was like, well, I don't know how I could follow that up. And Ben Carson was taken. So I was like, what if I'm just also Jeb Bush? And my name is also Jeb Bush. And he's a hunter. And his pet's name is Please Clap. it's good. It's good. I had a good time playing the video games. Tell your mom about us. Don't tell anybody else about us. Wait, that's backwards. Don't tell your mom about us. Tell everyone else about us. I hope you enjoyed this. Bye.
Thanks.